When my dad was in his mid-40s or early 50s, he started having a lot of trouble with one of his shoulders, and he went to different doctors. He went to orthopedic, he went to his general doctor, and they kept looking, and they did tests, and they took pictures, and they couldn't really find out what was going on. And finally, it wouldn't go away, and he said, well, I'm going to go to the chiropractor and try that. So he goes to the chiropractor, and the chiropractor can't really, you know, does some things with him, but can't really figure out what's going on. And kind of on the way out the door, he says to my dad, is there anything, like, under your mattress or something that you've been sleeping on? You might want to check that. So when Dad got home, he realized that when we moved into that house, he had put an old pistol under his mattress, and it was right where his shoulder would be as he slept. He had put it there, I guess, mostly to hide, which apparently he did a very good job of, because he didn't even find it. But also just, you know, to have something handy in case in the middle of the night something happened, there the gun was close by. It was supposed to keep him safe. But it actually prevented his finding rest. It made me wonder what kind of weapons we hold and hide and wield, asking them for security and finding instead that they bring us more disquiet and more anxiety. We have some words about such things in today's reading from Jeremiah. Has a nation changed its gods, even though they are not gods? For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and dug out cisterns for themselves, cracked cisterns that can hold no water. Think about the relationship that was supposed to be present between God and Israel, the covenant. They had made mutual promises, but Israel didn't keep up its end of the promises. As one commentary says, they defaulted on their obligations. And the prophet Jeremiah warns of the foolishness of living a life disconnected from God. Spiritual, political, and economic consequences will follow. The city struggled during this time. They had no flow of running water. Their great cisterns were cracked and leaky, and the people's water was running out. If you think about thirst here as equaling spiritual crisis, thirst for God, it is a turning from God's goodness and trying to quench thirst through their own efforts and devices. In other words, they were trying to do something for themselves, and instead of giving them more security, it gave them more anxiety. The truth is that we cannot save ourselves. We cannot control what happens to us to a great degree. Our machinations intended to save us and control our world end up hurting us because only God can save us. We try to do things to keep us secure, and like a gun under the mattress, they actually cause us more problems than they solve. The people of Israel had put all of their trust in one, I guess you'd call it, metaphorical basket. They saw salvation as something they could earn for themselves. They were seeking gods who are no gods, conjured up by people. And those gods were unable to hear or answer prayer. Those gods had no interest in the human creature. But we keep doing it. We keep creating ways for us to save ourselves, thinking they'll give us security, finding instead that they give us more anxiety. We love the idea of self-made sources of meaning and salvation because we can control them. And because we love that illusion of control, we often refuse to ask God for help at all. To seek God, after all, means we relinquish control. But control was always pretty much an illusion anyway, at least with regard to the things that matter most. And yet, our Western culture declares stridently and continually that we are what we possess, if we buy into that story and allow it to shape us, we cannot follow God. We cannot find generosity for our neighbors. We cannot hope to begin to live and love as Jesus Christ lived and loved. So how have we in our human experience focused too much on the things that we cannot, that cannot save us? What have we focused on that we have seen evaporate in our lives? What has disappeared because of mortality or age or fire or recently flood? Where did we think we had control only to lose it? What did we put under the mattress that ultimately we found could give us no comfort? It's a good question to ask. And to let go of those things and remember that only God will deliver us. When I think about being delivered by God, I wonder exactly what does that mean? I know that it means we would be more fully alive always because we're not defined by possessions or accomplishments or performance. We would be delivered from having to impress. We would be delivered from having to win, even from having to play. Delivered from having to perform. Delivered from worry. Delivered from giving even one thought to what other people think about us. This gift of salvation is given by God freely. But because of our free will, also given by God, we have to ask to be delivered. We have to accept it and embrace it. So what can we put under the mattress that will help us find rest instead of making us more anxious? The things we can put there to help us and secure us are compassion and faith and forgiveness and compromise. There is an eternal nature to love and to relationships with God and with other people. Faith and memories and tenderness, these things not only survive, but they bring us comfort. We are to put these things under the mattress if we're truly interested in protection and comfort in the darkness. The lessons that we have today in Scripture apply not only to nations, but to persons. If we continually put domination ahead of the needs of God's people, we have created a leaky cistern. We are going after gods that are no gods. And in God's kingdom, we are required to put aside the thinking of self in favor of thinking of God and others. For if we see God alone as the source of our salvation, we can spend all of our energy and resources and spiritual capital helping others, knowing we are held in God's strong and protective hands. Hearing stories and warnings like Jeremiah's can be uncomfortable in one way, but they can be comforting in another. These stories are uncomfortable because we have to give up control to God, and we're not crazy about that idea. But they are comforting because they tell us that the world cannot defeat God. So anything or anyone we put fully in God's hands is safe. Ultimately, the world will get us. If we rely on the world for our sense of significance, for our values, for our standards, our image, our self-esteem, because we cannot save ourselves. We can't control the things that happen. We can't define ourselves through what we've done. Only God can save us. I wonder how many of you do as I do, often having trouble resting, truly resting, because I'm trying to do too much. Most in our culture do it. Trying to make our own meaning and salvation, going going after gods, even though they are no gods. Most of us put under the mattress something